T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Atlanta United Vancouver live beginning at 9:30 tonight on 90.10 The Game. Kick at 10. Mike Connie and Jason Longshore on the call from Vancouver, British Columbia, as United goes for 5 wins in a row. We are certainly reacting today to what happened last night. It was a huge night for the NBA and the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA Draft Lottery. We welcome into the program one of our favorites of all time, of course, Steve Holman, voice of the Hawks, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Steve, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, fellas.
So, Steve, what was your overall reaction to the 8th and the 10th pick for the Atlanta Hawks last night?
Well, you know, it was funny because it happened so fast.
Yeah.
The folks were waiting, sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden they said number 10, and then immediately it was like, well, that's the Dallas pick, because we thought it might be 9. It wouldn't have been any better than 9. And then just when you get that through your head, all of a sudden the number 8 pick is the Hawks. So, you know, I mean, as I said on Twitter last night, look, number 1 would be great, but you get 2 draft picks in the top 10 to add along to the roster that we have and the kids that we have with Trey and John Collins and Herter and Amari Spellman. And the other thing to remember, I think, too, before people get, you know, totally disappointed that we didn't get the number 1 or finish with 8 and 10, you know, there's 36 days between now and draft day.
Thank you.
So there's going to be a lot of stuff happening. And, you know, Travis is going to be right in the middle of it all. And we have 5 picks total, which I believe is more than anybody in the draft. So there are teams that don't have any picks that are going to want picks. They're going to want, you know, something. So, I mean, almost anything can happen between now and June 20th. So I don't think that what happened last night is totally set in stone. You know, if it is, great. You're going to get 2 top 10 players in the NBA. Otherwise, Travis has got 36 days to wheel and deal and talk to other teams, and I'm sure he's going to come up with the best possible deal for the Hawks.
And, you know, Steve, that was my point last night, because I was about like everybody else in Atlanta. I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get the number 1 overall pick, because that's what I thought was going to happen. But at the same time, when we talked to Travis Link yesterday, he said the best case scenario for him is to have 2 picks, 2 top 10 picks in the first round. He got that. And just like you said, you got 36 days before anything happens. It's not a guarantee that Zion Williamson is a Pelican. That's not a guarantee. Now, it's looking real strong that might be the case. But that's not a guarantee at this point.
No, anything's possible. I mean, with all of these teams that are involved in all of this, but I think we have as many chips to put into the center of the table as anybody, and I think, you know, Travis could do that without having to mess with the core of what we've got here with these young kids and the development of Trey and John Collins. And I really like Trey's attitude last night on Twitter. You know, he put that picture up of Fee and John, and, you know, the two of them laughing, and he says, well, you know, we'll be good. I think that's the attitude that everybody's got right now, and I think we're in a very good place right now, going forward to June 20th.
Steve Holman, of course, play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks, joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.10 The Game this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, Steve, we'll get back to the Hawks in just a moment, but I want to go to some of the other issues that last night kind of solved. If there was any doubt in Adam Silver's desire to try to end tanking, it may have ended when they pulled a card for the Phoenix Suns at number 6, because they have flatlined this thing so much that the benefits of having the worst record in the league no longer seem to be that great.
Yeah, well, and then the two teams, I think, that were the biggest defenders, or I guess the 3 actually were the 3 bottom teams with the 14% chance, but, you know, Phoenix, I think, definitely went out of their way a lot to make sure they were going to be in that bottom 3. I think Cleveland certainly threw in the towel early, You know, and remember, we still have their pick, too, protected 1 through 10 this year. I'm not sure what it is next year, but we've still got their first-round pick if it's 1 through 8, I think, or maybe it's 1 through 10 again. But that's still in the deck for the Hawks, too. But I think you're right, John. I think it did show teams that it's the way the thing is set up now, that it's not going to work to be tanking, so to speak. And, you know, I think we did it the right way. The Hawks did, you know, trying to win every night. I think Steve Kuhn made that point yesterday on his Twitter or in that story that the Athletic ran yesterday. You know, the Hawks did it the right way. They tried every night and put on a good show every night, and the young guys developed. And, you know, I think moving forward that a lot of teams are going to look at that and say, you know, it's not worth it to put our fans through what Phoenix, Cleveland, and New York put their fans through this year.
The other story that came out of this was, you know, when we went to the break, okay, we're in the middle of the draft lottery, and there are four teams left, and two of them are New Orleans and Memphis, and two of them are the Knicks and Lakers. I sat there in the break, and I looked over at my wife, and I looked over at the Maven, and I said, if it goes Knicks 1, Lakers 2, everybody's going to scream, this is rigged. And as it turns out, it went 3-4 for those two teams, and two of the smallest markets, you know, if they wanted to rig it, they would have sent Zion to New York and Ja to L.A., but that's not the way it worked out. So anybody talking about it being rigged, got to stop.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, even going all the way back to the Patrick Ewing thing, I mean, I never really, you know, believed that. And, you know, and I've got to still think that we wanted John Konkak all along.
Yeah. Okay, you go that. You do that. Run with that.
But I think you're right, though. But I am, you know, the disappointment of not getting number one was certainly erased by the Knicks not getting number one, as far as I was concerned. You know, to see those two teams not get them was almost as satisfying as if we did get the number one pick. You know what I mean? It was just like, because all we've heard, and we still hear it today, I mean, you know, the Knicks. And, you know, everybody just assumed that he was going to go to the Knicks. And, you know, so it does prove that, you know, everything's on the up and up.
You know, okay, Steve, I'm making you the GM right now. You get to make all the moves. How far you just said that the Hawks have the most chips to play with. How far would you be willing and dealing to get to the number one pick for you?
Boy, Hugh, that's a good question, and I honestly, you know, I don't think I'm in a place to answer that. I mean, I really couldn't say because, you know, I don't have the books in front of me with the salary cap and everything else.
So you got to factor in all. You got to factor in the money and everything. I'm not talking about giving up any piece. I'm not talking about giving up anything that's on our team. I'm not willing to go that far. For some of those draft picks,
I wouldn't touch our core guys. I mean, nah. If it were me, but you know, it's not me making those decisions. And you know, really, thank goodness it's not me making those decisions because. You know, I have enough trouble just calling the game and saying bad call by the officials, you know, all the time. So,
yeah.
But I really think Travis and Tony made it. The Tony Wrestler, I think, after the draft last night, said something that basically what Travis has been saying all along too is like, look, if we can't make this move forward with two top 10 picks, we shouldn't be doing this. So, you know, I think he has supreme confidence in what Travis and his people can do and. And I think that, you know, Tony wants very much to win and build this thing up. And, you know, there are a lot of things can happen. And then you get from now until if you start looking ahead to July 1st, who knows what's going to be happening and, you know, who's going to be getting meetings with various players and agents. And it's so fascinating that we have that period between right now and July 1st that with the draft stuck there on June 20th. That so many things can happen. So whatever happened last night happened last night, but I don't think it's going to be, when we look back on it, let's say in July, we're going to say, gee, things have changed so much, not only for the Hawks, but for all these teams that are going to be shuffling, wheeling, and dealing. So that's what makes, to me, it makes it great for NBA fans because it's become almost a year-round thing now where you can, it's kind of like the NFL. I mean, there's something happening all the time. There are moving pieces, and it's just exciting. I think, and we still have our great practice facility that's one of the top two or three in the NBA, maybe number one. as a selling point. We've got Trey Young, we've got John Collins, we've got Kevin Huerter, we've got Amari Spellman to sell to free agents. So I think it's as disappointing it was not to get number one, but you just have to look at it. 8 and 10 are terrific, even if we don't do anything with them other than use them. And it's a terrific time to be a Hawks fan because the new arena and everything else going forward, and just Atlanta as a selling point for NBA players. And Hugh, you know, and John, how many guys not only in the NBA but the NFL live here and have places here. So I think we're on the come right now.
Steve Holman, play-by-play voice of the Hawks. We're talking about the fallout from last night's NBA draft lottery and what it means for the NBA, most specifically what it does mean for the Atlanta Hawks. All right, go with me on this, Steve. Let's just say that Travis Schlenk can't get – either he doesn't want to try and package up to move up, or he can't get a deal that really makes any sense for him. And so the Hawks stay on June 20th on draft night. They go into draft night with the picks that they have, most specifically 8 and 10. How do you prioritize, from your standpoint, what the biggest needs are going to be? Could it be – do they need a shot-blocking big? Do they need a defensive forward? Do they need another shooter? They've got two picks in the top 10. What do they need?
Well, I think there are needs, but I think Travis has said this too to you guys even, and other people say it too. The biggest mistake a lot of teams make is drafting for need. And the best drafts usually turn out to be the ones where you take the best player that's on the board at that time, and then you deal with it after that. I mean, if you want to go specific, then
right.
You could maybe
that's
something.
Right, but that's true. But I mean, but at the same time, you're not taking a point guard. I mean, you just don't need
one. I would think not.
Right.
You know, we've got a pretty good one right now.
Yeah, so even if the best player on the board were a point guard, you wouldn't take one. So, just all things being equal, I guess what I'm asking you for your basketball, not necessarily what Travis will do, but if you had to kind of define 8 and 10 and what maybe the best thing that, you know, presuming all players are equal, the positions that you would highlight.
Well, I think, you know, somebody up front with John would be, you know, a good thing. And I don't know what's going to happen, with Dwayne. I think he's a free agent this year, Dwayne Dedman. I know Alex Len is still under contract, and he really showed a lot of improvement. So, you know, I think the middle is in pretty good shape. And I guess you could always have another shooting guard to go along, you know, with Kevin somewhere along the line. But, there are places you could look, I guess, and I don't know. As I look at it, I think that the depth becomes a big thing right now, and if you can do that and add to the pieces we have, I think that'll be a terrific draft.
Well, of course, you mentioned July 1st as well, and free agency. Given the number of players that are going to be available in free agency, I'm not going to ask you whether or not the Hawks have plenty of money to give a max contract to somebody, but is it? They're not going to be on the sidelines, so I can't ask you if they will or won't because we don't know if they'll find the right fit and it'll be worth the cash. But I'm just saying, I guess my point is the Hawks are not going to be sitting around and not taking part. Whether they can get the right guy is a different story, correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, they're going to be active. I know that. I mean, I know Tony Ressler well enough to know that he wants to be active. I know Travis wants to be active, but the great thing I think about, and Travis has said this, I keep going back to what he's talked to you guys about because, you know, I always check that out when he's on with you. But, when he said that teams have to be very careful on free agency because he's seen so many teams spend money on the wrong player and the way the salaries are right now, the big money that's out there, I mean, if you make a mistake, you know, you're kind of stuck with it. And there are several teams that are in that boat right now that are stuck with it. And the great example is the Wizards. I mean, look at the money they still have tied up on John Wall. And, you look at Houston and the big contract that they gave Chris Paul, who, you know, not only is always hurt, but he's going to be, you know, well over 35 years old by the time he reaches the end of that contract.
Hey, Steve, it's always a pleasure. I do appreciate your insight. We look forward now to what's going to take part on June 20th with the NBA draft and everything in between, too. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And I'm excited. I mean, really, if Hawks fans this morning are, you know, kind of hanging their heads or whatever, don't, because 8 and 10, you could do a lot worse than two top 10 picks. And depending on what happens going forward, I think everybody's going to be very happy.
I would agree with that.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a good one, Steve.
All right, Steve Holman, now your chance to win $1,000.
$1,000.
Now it's It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
URGE. U-R-G-E. URGE. We don't pick them. They just randomly selected, I think.
URGE.
Like the winners are. 72881, U-R-G-E to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. URGE to 72881. URGE is the national signing bonus code word of the hour. U-R-G-E to 72881. We urge you to be right here when we get back. Austin Riley is up with the big club. What does it mean for the Atlanta Braves as they try and rebound from a disaster of a game last night? We'll discuss that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this beautiful Wednesday. Mike Soroka takes the mound tonight as the Braves try to even it with the St. Louis Cardinals at SunTrust Park. The Braves, there are 120 games to go, Hugh, but the Braves got worked last night.
Like a shift.
Too bad.
Like a shift. It was kind of ugly for 14 in the beginning, like in the first inning. Really was.
And in the third inning and in
well,
the
you know, the
inning,
first inning was like, you know, a little damage had been done. Damage.
Yeah, Mike Foltynewicz has had four starts up here. None of them have been good. All of them have been bad. And at this point, I just think, you have no choice but to send him to AAA. You got to get him fixed. Now, you think he can work through this? I know that Brian Snicker had said he was going to work him through it at the major league level, and they may do that.
Yeah,
but boy,
you got to stay committed to him.
Man, I
got to stay committed to him. And you know what? I would not be surprised if this morning that there was, you know, he's with the pitching coach, and they're going over film and looking at his mechanics and seeing what he's doing wrong. I would not be surprised if that was the case.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, because you better.
Captain Obvious over here. Yeah, Captain Obvious. Yeah, you got to, because that was pretty bad. And he is one of the guys that you're looking at to be you know your cornerstones. He's one of your cornerstone guys. And right now he's not living up to that. And you're stuck in between a rock and a hard place right now, because to your point, John, at some point, when do you pull the plug on the experiment? When do you say, listen, man, I've been riding with you this long, and I believe in you, but right now you're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me big time.
Well, for me, that was last night. But it may not be for – I'm not Brian Snicker, and I'm not Rick Kranitz. And so it may be another start, like you say. But for me, it's now. Again, I'm not making the call. This 21-21 start that they've had, notwithstanding the 14-3 shellacking they took last night, points out something, because we had a texter in here talking about, was it a texter or was it on the, sometimes I get the two confused. It was on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line from the 404, talking about the offense, sick of watching this terrible lineup, bunch of impatient, non-motivating bats.
Who?
Everybody else can score except these guys. So it's interesting to note that the Braves are seventh in all of Major League Baseball. They're number seven in total hits. So their offense is hitting. They're number seven in total hits in all of Major League Baseball. But here they're only 15th in runs. Now that's middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're seventh in hit and 15th in runs, it says that you're just not getting the hits at the right time.
Yeah,
right?
You're not moving people.
Right.
You're not moving people. There's a couple times where you could just look at that stat, John, and you could look at people that were stranded on base and that you didn't get a chance to move the runners. But you're making contact. That's good. I mean, I think that's pretty impressive for where when we look at this team and when the stats shake out, how different than they are from the stats that we see every day, or you know, from the eye test that we see every day. But yeah, they're making contact. But right now, your biggest concern for me is who are the guys that you're going to be able to count on in pitching situations. That has been the biggest question so far, going up until this point.
You're also in a situation, this is giving more credence. It's only, again, only been 120 games, but more credence to my kind of the belief that's in the back, stuck in the back of my mind, that this year is last year, and last year was supposed to be this year. In other words, we were supposed to have this year, last year, 21-21, 500 year, try and figure it all out, and then win the NL East, which we did last year, this season. So now we're 21-21, and we're going through all these changes. Let's go back to the offense for a moment. Austin Riley's been called up. Austin Riley's joining the team today from Gwinnett. In 37 games at Gwinnett, 15 home runs, 39 RBIs. You look at Austin Riley and you think, okay, where does he play? He's a third baseman by nature.
Mm-hmm.
He's played some first. When you got Donaldson, you got Freeman. But he could also, and they've experimented with him in left field, but only just recently experimented with him in left
field. Yeah, he's only had four starts. He's only had four starts in left field. And that's something when you look at the way that the defense has been playing. And to your point, you had talked about when were you going to bring him up because he had been raking down in AAA. But how comfortable are you moving a young man into that spot when he's only had four starts at that position and shaking up your lineup like that? That's a huge question. Is it the time to start, you know, making moves like that? You could honestly say with Josh Donaldson and Johan Camargo, you could probably have him be comfortable at third, but you really don't need him there. You really don't need him there when you have those two guys and Johan Camargo coming in when he gets a chance to start doing what he's doing. So it's one of those things where how comfortable are you putting him out there in left field?
Well, I think at this point it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. That's one of the things I think is fascinating. You know, forget that he's going to pinch hit. That's a given. He could play third, he could play first, he could play left. He becomes just, in a way, like Camargo, in a way, like Culberson, in the more you can do. And so I think he'll get a start at third. I think he'll get a start to rest Freddie Freeman at first base, especially against left-handed pitching. They may go ahead and put him in left field and see how that works out, because if Ender Inciarte goes on the disabled list, on the injured list, whatever they call it these days, that's going to slide Ronald Acuña to center, okay? And again, we're still talking about, you know, moving players around in the lineup, you know, as far as the batting order, and moving players positionally around the field while we're doing this all over here, Hugh, with the pitching staff, with the starters and the bullpen. We're doing it all at the same time. So
yeah, it's a little bit unsettled right now.
It's still going on.
But with all of that being said, John, you're still in the midst, and you're still in the thick of things as far as the NL race is concerned. You're still right there in the hunt. But you're at a point now where, like I always like to say, you got to go and get off the pot. You got to start finding some guys that you can count on. Your go-to guys, especially in your pitching staff. You got to have some go-to guys. Can't be one of those situations where you're looking at your starters and thinking, okay, we don't know what we're going to get tonight.
Mm-hmm. Last year we saw Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuña come in and lock down those spots. We're seeing Dansby Swanson as a young guy lock down his spot. We're seeing it from Freed. We're seeing it from Soroka. And does Austin Riley step into this team and hit the way we think he can hit? He's a big, strong guy. And if he starts hitting home runs, he starts raking, you got to find a spot for him. Is it a defensive liability in left? And then he's going to present a problem for next year too, Hugh, because he could present a problem whether or not – because, you know, remember, Josh Donaldson is only on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
If Austin Riley's raking, maybe you trade Josh Donaldson. You know, I don't know what you're going to do with him. This is going to be something they have to deal with in the future, but right now how you deal with Austin Riley, if he comes in and makes a splash and impacts this team, that's a good thing, but it gives you a good problem you have to deal with.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that, and this is one of those intangibles that I think that Josh Donaldson brings to that locker room, that attitude in which he goes out there and plays with, I think that's something that that I've heard a lot about on the broadcast. A lot of the announcers have gone out of their way to talk about that and how he is in the locker room and how much of an infectious nature he has there. So that might be something that the Braves aren't willing to part with. But it all depends.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on how well Austin Riley does.
And how well the team is doing at that particular time.
Yeah, and if you put him in left field, how well he adapts to doing that, if that's where you're going to
play. Because you have an option for next year. I mean, in theory, if Austin Riley comes up and rakes, you could, in theory, if the team doesn't do well, you could trade Donaldson, put him at third base, and that would be next year, move Acuña maybe to right field or something. I mean, you could move pieces all over the place. I mean, you still have Christian Pache. I mean, Acuña could be your starting left fielder next year. He could be your starting center fielder, or he could be starting right fielder. And we don't know how this is all going to work out. So the pieces on the chessboard, this is why I'm saying it's more and more like, you know, this year is last year and last year is this year. Let's go to Ryan and Carrollton. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Pretty good. How you doing this morning?
I'm all right. Hey, just wanted to comment real quick. With Ender being hurt and not on the IL just yet, you know, in my opinion, like you said a minute ago, I'm not Brian Snitker, but go ahead and plug him in. Plug Austin Riley in left field. He's got to be able to hit better than what Inciarte's hitting right now. I mean, which is next to nothing. I like Ender, but move Acuña over to center. He's going to be in the outfield all the time. Riley's tearing it up. How can you not play him in left field? And then if he continues to rake, let Donaldson go next year, plug him in at third. There's your solution, in my opinion.
Well, and that may be what they do, and Ryan may be absolutely right. But they also may be in a position where, let's say, Donaldson's raking. I mean, it's not out of the question that you could keep Donaldson at third next year and re-sign him and still play Austin Riley in left if he passes the test as a defensive left fielder and still bring up Christian Pache and put him in center. I think the one thing it says to me, Hugh, is barring a big turnaround here, I think Ender Inciarte's days are potentially numbered with the Atlanta Braves. And right now, that doesn't necessarily make me feel bad. I think he's been a Gold Glove guy. I like him a lot, but at this point, he hasn't done enough for me. So that's just kind of where I stand.
Yeah, that sounds kind of cruel. Well, I mean, I think he was
trying to be cruel.
Yeah, I understand you're not, but it is what it is. But you have these young guys that are down there in the minors that you have to get up here, and they have to get their turn to shine. Mm-hmm. I hear exactly what you're saying, and if he's hurt for an extended period of time, and if Austin Riley can come up and he can adapt to playing left field, if that's where they're going to put him, then yeah, then Ender might become expendable at that point.
And I guess this is my point about if this season turns into what last season was supposed to be, in other words, a 500 year where you're going to chase it around, then I think that the auditions, we have bullpen by audition, we have starting pitchers by audition. I don't see why you wouldn't.
It's a lot of auditioning.
I don't know why you wouldn't audition.
In the midst of a season.
Let's audition Austin Riley. Let's audition Christian Pache. Okay, let's go ahead and audition them, all right? 404-741-0929, if you want to jump in. Austin Riley's with the big club. What do you expect? Is he going to be the next big thing for the Braves? With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
On Sports Radio.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back into our discussion about the NBA draft and the lottery and what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks at 8-10 and get your impressions, some of the things we heard from Steve Ohlman and more. Braves tonight are going to be going up against the Cardinals with Mike Soroka on the hill. Austin Riley, whether he'll play tonight, I have no idea, but he is now with the big club and a lot of people are going to be very interested. Would they take Austin Riley, Hugh, and insert him right into left field starting tonight and move Acuña to center? That might happen. He might be just sink or swim. Go.
I don't know, John. I don't know with the outcome of last night's game, do you do that? I don't know how Brian Snicker is looking at this. That might be the case, though. You might just say, you know what, hey, can't be any worse than where we already are. If he's here, might as well throw him out there and see what he does. He's, like I said, he's only been out there four times in left field, so that might be something. That might be a little bit of a deterrent. But they might be other mindset. Hey, you know what? Best way to learn is go out there against, you know, live hitting,
mm-hmm.
and you know, at the majors. So go for it.
Tony's from Gwinnett. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Tony.
Hey guys.
Good morning.
I think you got to play him. I mean, you got him here. You got to play him. We've got to do something, and I think it's more than that. I mean, I wish the guy could pitch because that's where the problem is. But I think we package Ender. In a deal, we got to get some bullpen help or maybe even Bumgardner, but I think we get him in there to infuse some energy in this club. And if we've got to be creative to move some folk around, we got to get the guy in there. I think getting him in there will get the other guys excited and get some energy batting. I like that statistic that we're hitting seventh in all of Major League, so I don't think that's the major problem, but I think we got to get him in there, and we need to look at something about this pitching, starting and closing, but I think we get Riley in there to get something going.
Yeah, it's just all auditions. Thanks, Tony and Gwinnett. Alex in Athens joins John and Hugh. Hey, Alex.
Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yes, I mean, we have a pretty good problem, you know, with Austin Riley and Camargo, I think. You know, we can't count out our man Camargo. I mean, you know, even Chipper Jones had high praise for him. I believe Austin Riley might be the future third base of the Braves organization, and Camargo might be left field, Acuña right. I mean, center, I'm sorry, and who knows about Markakis. You know, we might sign him another year, and who knows? I mean, the possibilities are endless, but like the last caller said, you know, we got to focus on our pitching and see what happens after that.
No, and I appreciate that. We do. I think there's been a huge focus on the pitching staff all season long, as we know, because of all the guys that have gone up and down and up and down you know, between the bullpen, whether he used something on the order, 23 pitchers this season.
So far.
Like nine guys have started or something like that. I'm close to the exact stat of how many pitchers they've used. But when it comes to the lineup here, we've seen auditions take place for closer. We've seen auditions take place for bullpen, for starters. There's going to be some auditioning now that's going to take place within the lineup, Hugh. And that's going to start with Austin Riley getting a shot to play some left field and moving Acuna to center. It may include moving Acuna to right and giving Marquez some time off and letting Christian Pache bring him up just straight from Double A and giving him a shot. That may happen.
That might be the case, John. But right now, we want to kind of focus on Austin Riley and what he could possibly contribute to this club. And you know, we've been harping a lot about the fact that, you know, he's potentially going to play left field, you know, with Ender being a little dinged up right now, and how that is going to affect the team. Now, looking at the standings, you're 3.5 games behind the Phillies. The Phillies are 24-17. You're 21-21. Mets are 20-20. So this is where it's going to become somewhat interesting for Brian Snicker. Still trying to figure out what's going on with Folty. And how comfortable are you going to be with throwing Austin Riley out there in left field when he hasn't had that many quality starts at that position? Now, that's the biggest thing. It's one of those things as a manager, I couldn't imagine. Like, you've been so focused on trying to figure out this starting rotation. Step back a little bit. It started with the bullpen. Because going into the season, you thought, you know, when Folty got healthy, that he was going to be one of the arms that you were going to be able to depend on. Has not been the case so far. Now you have to figure out, what are you going to do with that situation? Are you going to ride it out with him and allow him enough time to try to work through it himself? Like we said, he's 0-4 on the starts. Or are you going to, you know, have a quick trigger like you've had all season long and send him down and let him get some work down to the rehab spot? And now you have this issue coming up with the young player Austin Riley and where you're going to play him at and how you're going to play him and how you're going to hit him in the order and everything of that nature and still stay pace with the Phillies right now.
Austin Riley is 22 years old. He is 6'3 and 220 pounds hard-hitting guy. But, again, very inexperienced in the outfield. So we'll see how he does in his, I guess, for lack of a better term, his first audition through with the Atlanta Braves. 15 home runs, 39 RBIs so far in 37 games, hitting .300 for the Gwinnett Stripers this year. And this is what's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what they do in terms of how they start to audition players. I'm not suggesting they're going to bring in Christian Pache tomorrow, but at some point this year, you would think they would want to get a look at him. And he's having a really nice start. He showed pop in spring training, both he and Riley did. This is about, again, the maturation of all these young guys. Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna, and you can start to put others into the mix. We haven't seen Ian Anderson yet, of course, and now we get to see Austin Riley. Hopefully, Hugh, Austin Riley gives you a little bit of a charge, and if he does and makes a splash with his team, as long as he's not a liability in left field, that this could be, you know, a kind of a little charge that you put into your lineup. It could be nice.
Potentially. I mean, it's something that would be nice, but like I said, you know, putting him out there, and defense hasn't been a major issue for you. You know, it's been a few games, but not a major issue for you. I mean, that's a chance. I mean, but that might be the right time to put him out there when you have some good players around him. That remains to be seen. And the fact that, you know, Ender has been an integral part of, I would say, you know, the putting the Braves in the position that they're in right now. I mean, you have to weigh that against that, too, and see how soon he gets healthy. So there's a lot of questions. Like, for right now, I'm pretty sure Brian Snicker's not having any nights where he's getting quality sleep, especially when you talk about that bullpen and that starting pitching. And especially when you talk about Fulton Evans and what he's not been for you this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just looking at Austin Riley's stats, in his career, Hugh, he's had 434 minor league games. 8 have been anywhere but third base. 4 at first, 4 in the outfield, and 426 at third base. So he may turn out to be, you may, as if Ender goes on the injured list, you may end up kind of piecemealing this together a little bit. Maybe Johan Camargo.
Been kind of doing that all season.
I know.
That's been kind of the case all season.
And we'll see. Again, this is why I think that maybe this, we just got our years backwards. Last year is this year, and this year is last year. All right, we'll get back into the NBA next at the top of the hour. Talk to you a little bit about 8 and 10 and what you can expect from the Atlanta Hawks at 8 and 10 in this NBA draft. And will Zion stay in New Orleans? Next with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.